got your Bible. You know, make sure you got your Bible to back up what I'm saying. Right? You know, you don't want to listen to any other thing, right? Well, I heard a story of a man who some years ago had a problem in his home. He had a crack on his bedroom wall. A crack on his bedroom wall that he needed to get fixed. So he called the painter over, and the painter removed the old paint, he removed the old plaster, he replastered it, and he repainted it. And everything looked good, so he left. About a month later, the crack reappeared. As you can imagine, the man was frustrated because he had already paid the painter. So he called him back and he asked him to fix the crack that was on his wall. So the painter came back and he wasn't quite sure how the cracks came back, but he redid everything. He replastered it and he repainted it. It looked good. So it looked good to the man, so the painter left and all seemed well. About 45 days later, the crack reappeared. But this time, it came back with his nieces, nephews, uncles, and cousins. The man had a whole family of cracks on his wall. So the man decided, well, I think I need myself a new paint. So the man, he called the new painter over and told the new painter, he said, well, the other guy, you know, he couldn't fix this, but could you please fix the cracks on my wall? The painter stood there for a while, and he stared at the cracks for a while, and then he said, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. The man said, excuse me? The painter said, I can't help you. The man said, well, why can't you help me? The painter said, I can't help you because you don't have a problem with cracks on your wall. So the man looked at the cracks that he wasn't having a problem with, and then he looked at the crack that was standing in front of him who was telling him he didn't have a problem with cracks on his wall. Then he said, wait a minute now. I see a crack. You see a crack. All God's children see a crack. There's a crack on my wall. The painter said, oh yeah, you see a crack on your wall. I'm just saying that's not your problem. The painter said, your problem is you have a shifting foundation. And the foundation under your house is moving. He says, so you see, the crack on your wall is a symptom of a much bigger problem. Until you can solidify your foundation, you will be forever dealing with patchwork trying to fix the cracks on your wall. In this day and age, we are dealing with cracks of all kinds. All kinds of cracks in our lives. It may be pain, it may be divorce, it may be lust, it may be teenage pregnancies, it may be drugs, and the list goes on, and the list goes on, and the list goes on. Whatever you may be struggling with, it could be that you have a crack in your wall. The question is, how will you deal with the cracks on your wall? How will you deal with the cracks in your lives? How will you help other folk deal with the cracks in their lives? We know that the cracks are just a symptom of a much deeper problem. So how do we fix that? How do we repair it? How do we solidify the foundation? My question to you this morning is, how firm is your foundation? How firm is your foundation? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as humble in the best way that we know how. Lord, I come to you this morning asking that you will look down upon us, Lord, and you will let your Holy Spirit fall fresh among this place this morning. Father, I come to you this morning asking that you will prepare our hearts for a word from you. Asking, Lord, that you would touch and move in a mighty way. Lord, I come to you this morning asking that I would decrease while you increase. I come to you this morning asking that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, and speak through me, Lord. I ask that you would touch and move in a mighty way. Father, I ask that we don't leave this place the same way that we came in. These are the things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at a story that Jesus tells about two men. Two men and two houses. Two men and two houses that at first glance may look the same, but when you look closely, are very different. Open your Bibles over to Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 47th verse. And when you get there, could you just say amen?
Amen.
Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 47th verse. And it reads, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." How firm is your foundation? Well, let's see if we can unearth what God is telling us this morning. That verse 47, it reads again, it says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like." What is Jesus saying right here? What is he getting at? What is his intention with this? Well, his brother James says a little right on this. Just flip over to James, the 1st chapter, real quick. We're going to begin at the 22nd verse. And it reads, "But these doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all his doings." In other words, when we hear the word of God, we can't let it go in one ear and out the other ear. You see, we must allow the word of God to change us. And if we are doing that, our actions is going to show that. So Jesus is telling us here that it's all about obedience. You may ask the question of obedience in what? Or obedience how? Well, remember in the beginning of verse 47, he says, everyone who calls to me. That's the first thing. Everyone who comes to me. In other words, you got to first come, right? When you come, you got to accept him. You got to realize that you're at a place that the cracks on your wall, you cannot keep repairing. The situation that you got yourself in, you can no longer get yourself out of. You got to be in a place where you are spiritually bankrupt. Amen? So you first got to come. But see, the next thing you got to realize is you can't just come. Because, you know, you got folk like that. They come and they think, well, you know, I'm accepted Christ. I got saved. I'm all right now. Everything is okay. But see, I beg to differ. I'm going to tell you today that once you accept them, now the journey begins.
Amen.
Now, see, once you come, once you accept them, now you're held accountable for certain things. Now, the rules of the game have changed. Now there's a new rule book. There's a new playbook. There are a different way that you must go now. There's a higher standard that you must keep. If we keep this standard and if we play by these rules, Jesus goes on to explain to us how that individual will be, how you will be if you're playing by those rules, if you're keeping and holding up to that standard. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Help me, Lord. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. He is like a man who is building a house. He dug deep. He laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it. That's something else right there. Because it had been built well. Two houses, two foundations, two storms, two totally different outcomes. How did this come to be? Well, let's first take a look at these two men. Over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse, starting at the 24th verse, this is a parallel passage to this. And Jesus, he calls one of these men wise, and the other one a fool. Let me read that for you real quick. He says, verse 24, Matthew, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Let's look at this other man real quick. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. Wise man. Let's look at this man a little bit. Wise man. What's a does a wise man look like? Well, the definition of wise is having the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true or right. Possessing discernment, judgment, or discretion of. Even better yet, possessing inside information. And so, this wise man, this first man that Jesus began to talk about, we can see that this man was in his right mind. We can see that this man, he's taking heed to the word of God. We can see, and we know this because the text tells us that he dug deep and laid his foundation for his house. He dug deep. Anytime you get a skyscraper or a big building, or say you're going to build a house from the ground up, the deeper you go, the stronger your foundation. The thicker the cement that you hold, the stronger and more sturdy is your foundation. When they build the skyscrapers downtown, they dig deep, real deep.
That's right.
Or else, when the winds come, when the floods come, when the storm hit, these buildings just don't top them over.
That's right.
Huh?
That's
right.
All the way down, same side up, same side down.
Same side up, same side down. So we know we got to dig deep, but what exactly is he talking about here? Before we move any further, Jesus is talking about building a house. What is this house that he's talking about? Do we know? You know, all through the Bible we see the house of David. When we read the genealogies, we see the house of this one, the house of that one. Right. House is your life, your family, right, your legacy.
You.
Huh? It is you. When you see it talk about house in the Bible, this is what it's talking about. And so when we talk about building a house, we're talking about building our lives.
That's right.
Huh? Now both of these men they wanted to build a life. Both of them wanted to build a good life. They just went in two different directions.
Right.
So the question is, you know, when you begin to build your life, what foundation is you building your life on?
Right.
Because if it's not firm, you're gonna fall.
Right.
Amen.
If it ain't on the rock,
it's gonna fall. So in this particular passage, house means our life, our whole life, and everything in it. All the choices that we make, all the decisions that we'll make, the things that we're doing, the people we're hanging around with.
Exactly.
All of this is a part of our life. What we're teaching our kids, huh? Whether or not we contemplate on divorce.
Right.
Yeah, all these things. The things we're thinking about in our mind, whether it may be us, huh? Whether we're chasing a dream or chasing drugs and different things like that. This is how you build your life.
Right.
So, let's keep moving. Next thing he says, he's building it on a rock. Do we know what this rock is?
Yeah,
can somebody please tell me what this rock is?
Jesus
is the rock.
We
know the rock. So let it say, oh Christ, the solid rock I stand.
Right.
Huh?
All of the ground.
It's sinking sand. Come on, somebody. I got somebody in here with me this morning. So the rock is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The rock of our salvation, somebody see.
Amen.
Huh? Our rock in the weary land.
That's
somebody
right.
Else may have seen. Our rock of ages.
Right.
Huh? I heard somebody say if we don't praise him, the rock's gonna cry.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
My God. Let's keep moving. My brothers and sisters, where are you building your house at? Are you building your house on this rock? Are you building your house on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Right.
This is the rock I stand on.
That's right.
Huh? Do you stand on that rock?
That's right.
Huh? If you ain't standing on that rock, I can tell you today that your house will fall. And the Bible says that it's going to be a great fall.
That's right.
Huh? It ain't going to fall small. Huh? fall greatly.
Yes, sir.
My God, my God. We got another man here. We got another house here. We got another type of foundation.
Okay.
What 9 says, but the one who hears and does not do them, hear what? Hear the word of God. Hear the call of God. Hear that small, still voice talking to you when you're doing, getting ready to do something you know you ain't got no business doing. Being in this situation right now, hearing folk come every week and hearing the word of God and not applying it, not grabbing hold of it and letting it change your life. That's the hearing he's talking about.
Right.
He's talking about hearing the call, hearing the word, hearing the direction, hearing the instruction. That's what he's talking about. Because so, once you've heard it, now you're held accountable for it. Ain't nobody fought but your own if you end up in the ditch somewhere because you didn't hear it. You remember what James said? You looked at yourself in the mirror and forgot what you looked like. That's what James said. So if you know what you look like, if you know what you're standing on already, if somebody came in here and told you what thus says the Lord, and you ain't did nothing about it, who the fool?
Okay.
We can call you who the fool. Who the fool?
Right.
And who the wise man?
Jesus Christ.
Hey man, the Bible's right and somebody else is wrong. I ain't even saying it. I'm just relaying the message.
Yes,
alright? So don't look at me all fouled up or
right.
Think
right.
It's me.
Right.
I'm just relaying what thus says the Lord.
Right,
I ain't calling no fool, I ain't calling a liar. I don't know. But your actions don't show what you is.
Yes.
That's what the word of God says.
Yes. But if God say you're a fool, you're a fool.
You're a fool. Show you're a fool. Or show not fool.
That's right.
My God, I can judge.
That's right.
All right. Back over to Matthew. Jesus tells us that this other man was a foolish man.
Uh-huh.
What does a foolish man look like?
Hey.
Let me give you a definition of fool. What classifies a person as a fool? A silly or stupid person. A person who lacks judgment or sense. Who has no sense at all.
Right.
Straight up dummy.
Okay.
Straight fool. A weak minded or idiotic person.
Right.
That's a fool. I ain't saying that's a dictionary shit.
Right.
I don't know about you. But that's not the person that I want to be. That ain't the person that I'm striving to be. I ain't striving to be somebody's fool.
Yes.
Back in the old days, in the royal days, the kings and stuff, you know what they used to do? They used to keep fools.
Right.
And they used to use fools for entertainment.
Right.
To entertain their guests and things like that, to make folk laugh. Yeah, that's what they used to do with fools. Now, you want somebody to make a mockery of you, laughing at you all the time? That ain't who I'm trying to be.
Right.
Amen?
They're going to the maids and the servants in the big houses. They're going to the maids. They treat them like they're affectionate out of their own position.
Hey,
they're going to serve the Holy Spirit. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I understand what you're saying, but let's keep it in the context of a foolish person. All right? I'm going to have time. Okay. I know I don't want to be a fool. We all don't want to be a fool.
Right.
But the sad part about this is, some of us are walking around being straight up fools.
Okay.
Pastor, or Brother Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Greek, fool means moron, don't it? Moron. Moron. We hear that word all the time. It's just another word for fool.
That's a moron. That's a harsh word.
That's a harsh word, but that's what the word
says
you are.
In the Old Testament, where it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is essentially the one who lives for himself and forgets God.
That's right. That's right. So if you ain't standing on Christ, the solid rock, guess what? You're a fool.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You're a fool. You're a moron. You're idiotic. You ain't got no sense.
That's right.
All right, let's move on. We're not out of time here. Well, if you are a fool, if that's you, I would like to pray for you that God will soften your heart this morning. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. I pray that God will grab a hold of you right now and speak to you right now. You want to grab a hold to the pastor. You want to grab a hold of this brother here. Grab a hold of me. Let's talk about it. Huh? Let's go to God. Huh? Let's repent right now. Let's ask God to forgive us of being so foolish. Let's accept Him into our lives right now. And let's walk this walk with Him. Huh? Let's play by His rules, His game, His standards. God, my God. See, you got to take heed to these warnings in these verses and remember that in those verses that the storm came.
Yeah.
I can imagine that, like outside right now, it began to thunder, it began to lightning, it began to flood. Huh? Yeah. So what is he talking about right there? Thank this is something very key, very important here.
Take courage and repeat the words.
What's that about that? That's something very important right there, because those storms that he's talking about, those floods that he's talking about, remember we got two men.
Right.
You know, the Bible says the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust.
Right.
But see, when the rain and the storm come, the rain and the storms being the trials and tribulations,
right,
the heartaches and pains in your life, the difficulties, the decisions that you have to make, getting in situations like you are right now, being in a place where you don't know which way to go or which way to turn, these are the storms of life. Huh? These are the floods that come in your life. See, when these things hit you, if you're a fool and not a wise man, if you're not standing on the rock of your salvation,
amen,
you're going to fall.
Amen.
Every single solitary time, you're going to fall.
Amen.
I ain't said it. The Bible said it. The Bible's right and somebody else is wrong. So if you think you can keep on doing it your own way, the way you want to do it, every time you won't just be trying to just do patchwork.
Yeah.
You're going to be just trying to put up some new plaid. I thought you're going to be trying to put up some new paint. And just like an odd analogy. A few months later, you're going to see another crack in the wall. You're going to see another crack in the wall. Until you solidify your foundation.
That's right.
Once the foundation is solidified, then when the winds come and the storms come, and you know, you may swing back and forth a little bit, but your roots are going to be planted deep. And somewhere on the song, I believe it said, you'll be planted like a tree that's planted beside the rivers of water. You shall not be moved, huh? You shouldn't be moved, huh? You may move back and forth a little bit, but you ain't going to be uprooted. That's what he's talking about with this foundation, huh? My God, my God. My brother, the question is, how firm is your foundation? Ask yourself that. Where is your foundation lie? Is it lying on sand, mud, or water? Or is it on solid ground, on the rock?
Amen.
Is there anybody here who needs to renovate their house? Is there anybody here that needs to pour a new foundation? Don't find yourself drowning when the floods came. Come. You don't want to find yourself in that position. So I urge you right now to search over your life. Search over your heart. See where you're standing at. See how you react when trouble arises in your life. What did you do? How do you respond to trial? How do you respond to tribulation? What comes out of your mouth? Huh? Are you declaring the word of God on some of these things? Huh? When situations arrive, are you rebuking it? Huh? Are you tapping into the power that God gives us? Or are you crumbling up every time? When some, you know, you accept God in your life, and then you got folks like this that accept God in their life, and then they on a high, and they happy, and they praising God, but soon as something happens, they like things said, they forgot how they looked in the mirror,
right,
and they went back to their own way. dogs. The only folk I know who go back to the old Nevada.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm fired first.
Ain't no dog.
Yeah.
Are you? My God, my God. My time. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your truth.
Yes.
Father, I pray, Lord, that you don't allow any of us to be fools, Lord.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, that you will give us the strength and the will and the know-how of how to build our foundation on you. Lord, I know that we're not perfect, and I know that situations are going to arise, and I ask that you will give us the strength, Lord, to be able to act according to what the way you tell us to act in your word, Lord.
Yes.
Father, anoint us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, and Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We can't walk through this storm alone. We need you right alongside of us, Lord.
Yes.
Father, please change us and shape us and mold us and equip us with what we need in order to do this, Lord. Father, we need you, Lord. We cannot get along without you, Lord. Lord, trusting and depending and believing that you are going to do just what your word says. Please, Father. These and all things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.